Some laws regulate industries, other laws regulate behavior. In Parliament, where minority voices are becoming louder, including parties like African Transformation Movement, debates around bills like the tobacco legislation controls are no longer quiet policy discussion. So today we're asking, when it comes to the tobacco bill, is Parliament protecting public health, expanding the state's power over personal choice, or responding to the loudest voices in the room? Joining me today is ATM's lone voice in Parliament, Mr. Vuyo Zungula. So, Babwam, what I'm really interested in right now, as there's all of this talk around the amendments to this tobacco bill, can you walk us through the active participation that you've had in pushing for some of these amendments?
Firstly, you know, the benefit of being in a small party in Parliament is that you work harder and you make sure that your argument is based on facts and substance. You do not have the arrogance of numbers to say, we're going to push this through because we've got the numbers. Ours is to, you know, get the common sense to be, you know, to be heard in the committee. Because this bill fundamentally might have the correct objectives, which are supported widely by everyone in society. But what matters when it comes to the tobacco bill, it is the practicality of things, because you may want to achieve something, but if the method you are using is irrational, it is not making sense, you are not going to achieve what you want to achieve. So that is what we've been trying to contribute in the process, to say, let's have common sense, and let's make sure that the manner in which we want to achieve it and the objectives of the tobacco bill actually do make sense.
So looking at the current version of this bill, where, what kind of amendment or shift can you point at to say this is where ATM has made a real impact?
Firstly, throughout the conversation, when we participated in the process, the bill had not even gone to NEDLAC, whereas the legislation directs that any bill that will have an economic or social impact must go to NEDLAC, where there's social partners that will engage, deliberate on the bill before coming to Parliament. So that when Parliament is basically processing the bill, it does have inputs already considered from the social partners, because this bill was sponsored by the department or the minister. So the process they wanted,
which was minister?
Minister of Health. The Minister of Health will take the bill, goes to Parliament, and in Parliament, then the Parliament processes. However, we're quick to say, look, legislation, and NEDLAC is not just a body like an NGO. It is a constitutionally created or parliamentary created body, which mandates that for each and every bill that will have economic and social impact, it must first go there, whereby labor, civil society, and other social partners will get to engage the bill there first before coming to Parliament. So we're really pushing the committee to say that's where it must go, so that when we interact with the bill in Parliament, the voices of labor, the voices of business, the voices of civil society have been taken into account.
And we have had a conversation with NEDLAC before, and kind of have an understanding of some of the partners and the way in which they work, which makes me ask the question. This is, you know, around ordinary smokers and how they are experiencing the bill. Do you think that they see it as a protection because it's being sponsored by the Ministry of Health, or as pressure from the ministry around behavior, regulating their behavior, or just a simple policy? What would you say the smokers themselves are seeing such a bill?
The smokers are seeing the bill as something that is irrational, cannot be enforced, and does not make any form of sense. I want to make reference to a few definitions or aspects of the bill that do not make sense. When you go to the bill that has been proposed, just read the definition of smoking. Smoking, as currently in that particular bill, includes holding a tobacco or tobacco-related product. Meaning, if I'm holding a cigarette now or a vape now, like this, according to that bill, I'm smoking. But am I smoking? The answer is no. Now, meaning, if later on in the other parts of the bill, it says that anyone that smokes in public is going to be liable to be arrested. Meaning, if I'm holding a tobacco product in public, according to the bill, I'm basically smoking because smoking includes, and I want to underline this part, holding. Just by the fact that you are holding, it means you are smoking. That's the first part. The second part is it does not make sense because there are aspects where if you are smoking alone in your own car, if this bill gets to pass, you will be arrested. Imagine you are alone in your car. You are smoking. Yes, you are a smoker, but you are alone in your car. You'll be arrested. The other part is that we've got people that work from home. So basically, their homes are workplaces. Now, according to this bill, if you are smoking in your
Wow.
workplace, which is in the current system or environment whereby people work from home, even if you are alone smoking in your own house, but if you also use the house as a workplace, you are going to be liable to be arrested. So those are the common sense issues that we're saying. Put aside the other key issues of definitions, other issues of policy, but common sense dictates that if I'm just holding a tobacco product, I can't be viewed as someone that's smoking. If I'm smoking in my own car and I'm alone, I can't be arrested. Whose life am I endangering at the time? If I am in my own house alone and by the virtue of working from home, I can't be arrested when I'm smoking there. So those are the few issues that we highlighted in the bill as irrational.
I think about when the COVID lockdowns were happening, and tobacco was one of the industries that was quite sharply impacted by the lockdowns, the sale of tobacco products and the sale of liquor products. And what we saw during that time is quite a sharp increase in illicit cigarettes and the illicit trade of cigarettes, which for a lot of people has they not gone back into the regulated system. And one concern that has often been raised around these stricter tobacco regulations is the risk of growing this illicit market. How has ATM engaged with that concern in shaping its position on this bill?
When we engaged with the bill, we just outright rejected the bill on the basis that the bill focuses on the 30% compliant market or compliant side of the tobacco industry. Because the tobacco industry, you will have 100% of it, but 70% of it is illicit. If what you want to achieve, it is to regulate smoking. Once you know that 70% then of smoking in the context of your country is illicit, your focus should be on the illicit side of things because it is the significant majority part of the problem that you want to address. You don't focus on the tiny fraction, 30%, which is legally compliant. The second issue here is that the bill proposes plain packaging for tobacco products. Now, with plain packaging, is that consumers cannot differentiate between product A or product B, or in terms of the suppliers. What that is what they are trying to do, so that the suppliers of tobacco products do not have an upper hand over the other. But what they're neglecting to understand that it then places illicit market at an advantage because they can just, you know how easy it is to fake a product in South Africa, especially when there's plain packaging, as opposed how difficult it may be to look at a particular brand, how the brand is packaged and all of those symbols of that brand. So that is another issue that we've been fighting against on the question of illicit trade, because again, during the COVID lockdown period, everyone knows when it comes to the tobacco industry. Pre-lockdown, the illicit trade was not sitting at 70%. It was below 50%. However, the strict regulation at the time that banned smoking actually drove smokers from legally compliant industry to the illicit trade or illicit market, and they never went back after. Meaning, if you're going to have a bill that is so aggressive and so stringent, particularly on the legally compliant aspects, what's going to happen is that the 70% illicit trade now might shoot up to about 90% or even higher. But the problem which the department wants to address, which is the impact of smoking on the healthcare system, will not be addressed, because people will still smoke, but instead of smoking products that have been bought from regulated, legally compliant sector, they are just going to be buying from the illicit trade. Who loses out? Firstly, it's the government, because when you buy from one of these registered companies, there's taxes involved. There's even higher taxes, when it comes to such products, because of the nature of our taxing system.
Oh,
Meaning,
we
there's
all
money
know
that
about the syntax. We all know about the
exactly.
syntax every year.
So there is money that is made by the government from these sins, if we can call it that, to fund the healthcare system, amongst other things, to cushion the healthcare system from the people who come back at a later stage wanting to have, healthcare because, they are sick from smoking. But if you remove the entire legally compliant aspect or market, everyone moves to the illicit trade, then the government loses the tax revenue that they're making from tobacco industries or companies, and they lose out in the process. So that is something that is understood even by people who are not even in the industry, when it comes to once you increase regulation on this particular aspect of tobacco, this will be the outcomes. And lastly, we had an engagement with SARS, engagement with SEBS, and both institutions. I remember SARS was represented by the commissioner. SEBS was represented by the deputy minister. Both institutions said, we do not have capacity to enforce the bill, meaning it will be just a bill or an act that will be there on paper, but there's the enforcing entities, because the Department of Health does not go around searching for companies that are producing illicit tobaccos products. It is only SEBS and SARS that can do that. But if both institutions say they do not have capacity, it's something that the
The
department
point.
ordinarily. Exactly. What's the point?
Well, you say that, and one of the questions that I'm always keen to hear when we talk about policy, when we talk about processes, particularly for people who don't follow parliamentary processes closely, why should they even care about these amendments? And what's the real world impact of these amendments on ordinary South Africans?
They must follow, because it impacts them. Go to the townships. We know that the country has got a very, very high unemployment rate. Therefore, what then happens is that majority of our brothers and sisters and our mothers and uncles will then venture into the informal sector to try and make a living. They'll sell fruit, they'll sell veggies, they'll sell products on the streets, in the robots, trying to make a living. One of the products they are selling, it is tobacco products, especially cigarettes. Now, this bill bans the sale of single sticks, meaning if a company is selling
Loose straw.
20, loose straw, if a company is selling 20, that's fine. But if you are in the street somewhere You are selling a loose straw. You are, once if the bill were to be accepted and to be law, it means you would be arrested for selling a loose straw. And the real impact on that, it is on the people who are trying to make a living, because when smokers in the townships, poor people, they do not have money to buy 20s or 10s, but they can buy a loose straw because maybe it costs 3 rands, 4 rands, etc. But a 20 maybe will cost minimum 26 or 27 rand. They will not have 27 rands, but they can have 2 rands for a loose straw. So that's the first aspect. The second aspect is that this bill bans any form of product display. Now, when you go to an uncle that has got a stand in the street selling the products, if you want to know what products are they are selling, they are displayed there. If you want to check whether they are selling either a matches, they are selling a lighter, they are selling anything they are selling, it has to be on display. That's how you know what they are selling. If you don't see it on display, it means you think they are not selling it, because ordinarily, that's how the informal sector operates. People display what they sell. Now, this bill is saying if you are going to be selling any tobacco product, now it means you cannot display it. Fine, for bigger companies, you already know if you go to these shops, you can assume that they may have it, but maybe because of the law, it has it is not displayed. However, for people that are in the informal sector, informal traders, now you, the clients, the customers are going to check on the stand, what do you have? If they don't see any tobacco product, they are going to assume that it's not being sold, and then they're going to move on. So the real impact here on the poor is that, number one, they can't make a living by selling loose straws. Number two, their sales will be impacted because they can't display the products they'll be selling.
Sure. I mean, there are many aspects to how this particular bill, if or when it passes in whatever form, it will shape the way that South Africans, all South Africans, not just smokers, engage with the trade of smoking, but also in how they behave in their homes, in their businesses, and also, I suppose, in the personal choices that they have available to them. Thank you so much for chatting with us and giving us this particular insight. I mean, there's a lot here to think about, which even I, who follow parliamentary processes, hadn't thought about. So thank you for your time. And definitely, I can say you are one parliamentarian who is available for any kind of discussion and accountability. And thank you for that.
Thank you so much. Like I said, Ayla, it really helps to be, you know, in a smaller party, because you become a jack of all trades. You need to talk about illicit mining in the morning, in the afternoon you talk about tobacco, then you talk about Madlanga, you talk about Palapala. So it really enhances your thinking capabilities, because your mind is constantly stretched. Thank you so much for the engagement.